It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lycoboro Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing control panel. Well, go through some football scores from last night. Of course, the game you heard live with myself and Paul Ramo, Dawson Boyd, a good team this year, defeated our Eagles 54-6. And Tony Smith is in the studio. We'll be talking to him in a little bit here. Our next week opponent, McRae, won over Yellow Medicine East. I think it was 6-0 through most of the game, and then they ended up winning over Wyoming 20-0. Minneota all over Canby, 69-0. Bold defeated ACGC 29-22. Springfield, Dawson Boyd's next week's opponent, all over Tracy Milroy Belt, and 68-18. Albany 43, Melrose 16. Piers defeated Minnewaska 30-7. Marshall must be very strong this week. They defeated Wilmer 41-7. New London Spicer shut out Watertown Mayor 22-0. Annandale over Foley by the score of 40-6. Litchfield over Little Falls 57-8. Glencoe Silver Lake over Montevideo, 48-12. Russell Tyler Ruthen over Lakeview, kind of in a surprise by the margin, 42-14. Morris Area, Chicago, Alberta, 46, Sox Center 7. And Maple Lake is 2-1 right now as they shut out Long Prairie Gray Eagle, 48-0. So that brings us up to our game last night with Dawson Boyd. Second quarter just got away from us, and after that, and before that, it was a pretty good ball game.
I would second that comment. excuse me. We knew that they were a good team. They're physical. They got some size and some speed. Very good quarterback and some guys to go around him. But, yeah, I thought we played well there in the first quarter. It wasn't we didn't have the ball a whole lot, but I thought we did some things defensively to slow them down a little bit. And then we got to the second quarter, and I was home last night watching the film, and you know, I think it was 20-0 with about 5 minutes to go. And in a blink of an eye, they had put up a couple more on a couple of turnovers, and then the score was out of hand at 48-0 at halftime. And so the conversation at halftime wasn't so much about, hey, you know, we're going to come back, we're going to score 48 unanswered here. The conversation was we need to work ourselves into making play after play after play, just improving ourselves and focus more on what we need to do as opposed to what they were doing. And and so, yeah, the third quarter, they got another one, and then we got one in the fourth quarter. But to make the final score, as you said, 54-6, we got out of sorts a little bit. Jace Deline was unable to play last night, and so we had to move some people around. And Gabe stepped in and played fullback last night. I think he had 25 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. And so, you know, we had to shuffle the linebackers around a little bit as well. And, so you get caught into that, and sometimes your eyes start to wander and they're not where they need to be. And you start looking and Dawson does a nice job of some misdirection things. And all of a sudden they're out the back door and you're still chasing somebody without the ball. it's hopefully these are lessons learned, and you know we're running out guys that we've talked about, we're running out guys that that we're trying to get them ready during the week and coaching them up, and then comes the Friday Night Lights, and are they focused on where they need to be? And I think for the most part, you know, it's not for a matter of want. It's just a wanting to be focused in on what you need to be doing. It then kind of turns into, am I disciplined enough to do that? And so, you know, that's really kind of where the coaching staff and I are kind of working on that, is the consistency and the discipline to do those things.
Yeah, and right away, your first possession, I think you had like third down and two or three, and Gabe Lowry broke through the hole and gained about 15 or 17 yards, and then there was a flag. That really hurt you right away. You were 15 yards back and had to punt and give up the ball. You don't know what would have happened, but it seems like something like that happens, that you're moving the ball a little bit, and then either a turnover or a yellow flag comes out.
Yeah, I think we call those self-inflicted wounds, and we got way too many of them. And, you know, watching that back on film, it was a chop block. You know, that's where the one guy, one blocker, kind of a high-low, and they got rid of that here quite a few years ago, just in a safety piece. And unfortunately, Elias went to go cut the big number 50, and Kaysen Heineke got himself engaged with him. And you're right, we had a nice hole. It was a nice gain. We had a couple of nice plays on that first drive to kind of get us. We would have been on their side of the 50.
Right.
And you're right, you don't know what would have happened. But, hey, instead of ending up having to punt from our, you know, 25-yard line or 20-yard line, whatever it was, we could have been on the plus side of the field, and then you never know. And, you know, obviously they're a good defensive team. But, yeah, those are things that that we need to continue to work on and talk about and show, and then we just looking for that consistency piece.
Well, you knew, and you mentioned that on the postgame interview with you, too, that Dawson's defense, they're always going to blitz a linebacker. And I know we didn't complete a pass at all because just didn't have time to get rid of it. The quarterbacks know where the receiver's going to go, but they just have to avoid a sack. They have to throw it up there, and hopefully the receiver can run under it, and there were a couple that we could have caught, but bounced off our hands or whatever. But you got to have a little more time to.
Yeah, you know our scheme, I guess, passing the ball is three step, and yeah, they did a nice job of mixing up blitzing or not blitzing or showing it. And I don't, you know, we're going to have to talk about that on Monday when we get the film, to talk about, hey, were we communicating on who we're taking? You know, those are things that we got to make sure that we're sound in, and pointing to each other. And yeah, when you get to that three-step drop, you know, you're not more than 4 yards from the line of scrimmage on a three-step drop. You got to be able to plant and throw, and there were a couple of times where he just didn't have that opportunity. So yeah, I mean, we knew it. We saw them play Murray County. We're kind of the same setup offensively, so we knew they were going to blitz A gaps and try to take the defensive ends and box them in. But I thought we did a nice job on some of those off tackle runs, and you know, it's and excuse me. Special teams-wise, I thought Jax Wells had a nice job punting last night. He got off a 40 or 45-yard punt last night, so that was a nice job. And, you know, the kickoff team did a nice job on coverage, the couple of opportunities they were out there. So it wasn't all for naught, but it's just trying to work weekly into making sure that we're, again, I told him last night I feel like a broken record in the idea of being consistent and being prepared and being ready for those Friday nights, because as I was talking to Corey last night, before the game, you know, kind of said, you know, we were talking injuries and what have you, and I said, but you know what? Nobody in this district is going to feel sorry for us, so we got to prepare with who we got, and we got to go. And he kind of smiled and nodded, and he said, absolutely, that's what every team's got to do. And I think that's what everyone's goal is to get themselves ready as best they can.
Well, you're 0-3. The teams you've played have done relatively well since that time. I mean, Lakeview got beat by a good team, too. But now, coming up, you have a chance.
Yeah, you know, we scrimmaged McCray on that Saturday, and they've got a athletic quarterback, and they mix it up a little bit between going 4 and 5 wide receivers, and then they go double tight with 3 guys in the backfield. So kind of a little bit of everything all over the place. So we'll have to prepare for that and keep him in containment, and I like our chances. But, again, it's coming down to getting ourselves ready during the week.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned your ground game. Let's give a little credit to a person that came off an injury and good runner. I mean, a big guy, he can run pretty quick, and so, but he scored your lone touchdown.
You know, and Gabe did a nice job about half hour before the game. I said, hey, got to throw on that 33 jersey, and I think he was excited to do that. And he had a nice night running the ball, ran the ball hard, got some tough yards. And as I was talking last night, he said, oh, they're always cutting me at the feet or cutting me on the legs. I said, well, pick up those legs and give them the Roger Craig, where all you get is thigh boards and shoulder pads. And I would say the one thing that we've done very consistently in the offensive line wise, and you know, the game is, it doesn't matter what scheme you're running, offense, defense, it starts at the line of scrimmage. And one of the things, as I was watching film last night, one of the things that we've done very well consistently is attack, and we've done a nice job of that throughout the course of the year, and that's what gives us some of those runs. We got to just kind of work on that backside stuff, but you know, as far as that goes, like I said, Gabe had a nice night. He had 25 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Gavin Mortensen had 3 carries for 31 yards. Adrian Specht had 5 carries for 9 yards. Jackson Fernolds, you know, he was 1 for 12 for 3 yards, and Nolan Smith was 0 for 1 with a pick. He had to step in there for Jackson. He needed a quick breather. Defensively, Gavin Mortensen had 3 tackles, solo tackles, and 2 assists. Douglas Bruner had 3 tackles. 2 of those tackles were for loss. Jax Wells had 3 assists and 2 solos. Nolan had 2 solo tackles and assist. Talon Kranz had 2 solo tackles, 5 assists, and one of those was a tackle for loss. Elias Alonso had a solo and an assist. Adrian Specht had a tackle and 4 assists. Tucker Lyons had a tackle. Alex Nyans had a tackle. Scott Asfeld had a tackle. He had a forced fumble there in the fourth quarter. Gabe Lowry had 2 assists. Angel Alonso had an assist. And then Max Young, who got that fumble recovery there in the fourth quarter. As I mentioned, Jax Wells did a nice job in the punting game last night. He had, a 40 or 45-yard punt there in the first half. But to shift the field actually down to that way, or, you know, it was probably, what, inside there, 25 or something, so it was a nice punt, turn the field. Yeah, we'll ice ourselves up, as we talked about last night. Ice ourselves up, take care of ourselves, make good choices over the weekend, and we'll get ourselves ready to go again for the week.
Well, you didn't have a JV game against Lakeview, but junior high must have played.
Yeah, junior high played Dawson on Tuesday, And I believe the final score there was 20-14. Dawson won. I was watching that actually the other night. But they had a chance. Lacaparral, we had a chance to score to tie it there late in the fourth quarter, but we were unable to punch one in. So tomorrow, actually not tomorrow, but Monday, RJV is going to go down to Dawson and play, yeah. And then on Tuesday, our JV is playing YME. Okay. Excuse me, not our JV, but our junior high is playing YME on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report. The kids are playing as hard as they can for you, and every week in the paper they have a highlight of or introduce some players, and all comments are, I like the my team playing with my teammates and playing football, so they're giving you the best shot.
Yep, I would totally agree.
Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll talk about the McRae game next Saturday morning.
All right, thank you very much, guys.
Tony Smith on football. We'll take this break and be talking girls tennis with Dr. Brent Hacker.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Okay. Okay, back at the coach's show, talking to Brent Hacker on girls tennis. So you had a busy week.
Yeah, we are kind of in the thick of things here. We're actually kind of heading towards the end of our regular season. We got a couple more weeks after this, and that's it. But we've ended up, we hosted Morris on Monday and then traveled over to Montevideo. It ended up being a Wednesday afternoon match because the rain kind of messed around with our Tuesday schedule, and then we ended up hosting McRae on Thursday. So we had the three matches. Just going back to Monday, we ended up hosting Morris. Morris has been a very solid team. The coach there, Brittany, has about 48 kids out, she said, this year, 7th through 12th. So that's excellent numbers for tennis. We ended up posting a 6-1 loss there. And the win we did pick up, it was a forfeit at one doubles. Molly Halverson, Cameron Olson were playing very well. It was tight, 5-6, but one of the Morris girls got pretty sick and couldn't continue, so we had to end that match. But Alexis Olson and Maya Vergiev have played our 1 and 2 singles this year for us, and that we lost both of those positions. Reese Kuzman lost the tough one at 3 singles, 6-4, 6-4, and Greta Hacker lost the 3-setter at 3 singles. And then Brianna Borstad and Aiden Bond have been two doubles team for us, and they, I can't get closer. They lost two tiebreakers in a row to drop that match. So, you know, very competitive, just couldn't get things going our way when it mattered the most there. And then Kenna McTy and Riley Clark filled out our three doubles spot, but we ended up posting a loss there. We were able to bring a number of other kids with, which was great. So we've got a lot of players kind of just right off the varsity lineup who are very similar in strength. But those kids include Vanessa Piotr, Macy Moen, Micaiah Cobalt is a ninth grader from Dawson playing really well. Mari Falmas, eighth grader. Maren Lund is a 10th grader from Lack. And then Esther Peterson, an eighth grader from Dawson. So you know, we've got a lot of younger kids working really hard and just showing a lot of improvement. So that's Morris ended up being a loss for us, though, 6-1 on Monday. We traveled over to Montevideo it ended up being Wednesday afternoon and an earlier match to try to not have too much conflict with church activities. But, again, we ended up posting a 7-0 loss. We played Monty earlier in the season. Monty was solid. We were probably the most competitive at our three singles position with Reese Kuzman, 6-3, 6-4 for her match. And then Riley Clark and Kenna McTye picked up a 6-4 set at three doubles. But Monty is a very solid team. They're playing well. You know, they've got 5-6 seniors across their lineup. And age and experience really makes a big difference when you're playing teams in tennis. So Montevideo did a great job, and they're enjoying a very successful season this year. That brought us to Thursday. We ended up hosting McRae. One of the first matches of the season was a quad over in McRae, where it's non-conference, non-section for us. But we ended up hosting a 4-3 close loss. We ended up picking up the win 6-1 over them. There were a lot of close matches, and most of them went our way. So, you know, just want to be, 6-1, it could have been a lot closer. If we would have really had things go against us, we could have ended up losing again. But one of the things we've been working on this season is closing a little bit. We've been pretty successful at times picking up that first set. And then the second set, you know, the foot comes off the gas a little bit. Focus isn't quite as tight. And that energy or effort level drops just a little bit, and that's all it takes for that, you know, your opponents to find a little bit of an opening, and then things start getting in your head, and you start wondering what's going on, and things start keep going the wrong direction. So the gals on Thursday did a really nice job not letting that happen, kind of fighting through. Alexis Olsen picked up a 3-set win for us at one singles. She did a really nice job there. Maya Virgi ended up being a 3-set loss, but both Alexis and Maya moved into really new positions, very competitive positions from where they were last year, so asking them to really pick up a lot of the slack for our team. You know, Alexis Olsen at one singles is always going to end up seeing that best player on the other team. In tennis, you have to do what's called an ethical lineup, so you have to put your players in according to their strength. You know, and Maya Virgi at two singles also, you know, I'm going to end up seeing either the second or third best player on the other team almost every time. And Alexis came from playing four singles to one. Maya came from playing two doubles to one single, or two singles. So those are big changes in that strength lineup. But they both played really well this season. Reese Kuzman was a doubles player last year, but she picked up a nice win, 6-1, 6-1. And then Greta Hacker at four singles did a nice job. She was actually down 0-4 in the first set. And then just kind of started playing more patiently, playing with more purpose, not trying to get panicked, and picked up the first set 6-4 and then won the second set as well. So she closed that in two sets. Our doubles teams seem to be really working pretty well together this year. Doubles is kind of like a marriage. You got to get along with your partner to be successful. And, you know, you put these kids together, and sometimes they were friends before, sometimes they didn't know each other really before. If you got Dawson and Lack kids together, things like that. But Molly Halverson and Cameron Olson have done a really good job gelling, talking, and communicating up at one doubles. They picked up a win 6-2, 6-4. Both Molly's a senior, but really hasn't played the last few years. She's doing a great job, really kind of a sponge, trying to absorb, you know, whatever she can as far as skills, strategy, and doing a great job. And Cameron has stepped up from really playing kind of our exhibition three doubles all the way up to one doubles in the season, which is a huge jump. She's a 10th grader from Dawson and playing really well. Both of them motivated, athletic kids. Bree Borstad and Aiden Bond did a nice job taking a win at two doubles with three sets. It was 6-3 us and 3-6 McRae and 6-4 us again in the last set. Again, Aiden, a 10th grader, Bree, an 11th grader, both from Lack, but working well together. You know, doubles, it's super important that you're communicating, talking with your partner about where you're at, what's going on the court, where the ball's coming, so we're all on the same page. And things have really improved that way for them. Riley Clark, a 10th grader from Lack, and Kenna McKay, a junior from Lack, are playing our three-double spot, and they picked up a nice three-set win as well. Lost the first set 4-6, but turned things around 6-4, and pulled off a tiebreaker 7-6, so did a nice job there. And then Macy Moen and Vanessa Piatter have kind of been a very consistent, like that first exhibition doubles team, and they picked up a win as well. So
okay.
It was nice to kind of finish up the week that way with a win over McRae.
Okay, next week.
Yeah, next week we've got we're going to host Millbank on Monday, and then we travel up to Waska on Tuesday. For those days, JV is doing the opposite of us, so on Monday JV will be home. Or sorry, we'll be in Millbank, and then on Tuesday JV will be home against Waska.
Okay.
On Thursday we host Sauk Center, and we're going to do senior recognition on Thursday.
Okay.
So JV doesn't have a match. We're hoping to get other folks out there, and that's going to be our week next week. So. Got three more next week, so things are going fast for us at this point.
All right. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck. And we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Yeah. Can I just give a quick... I just want to give a shout out to Austin Ireland, and my JV coach. We've got Maddie Matthews out with us this season. Both doing an awesome job and really appreciating their time and effort. So,
okay.
I just wanted to give them a quick shout out. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. That's Dr. Brent Hacker on Girls Tennis. Well, be talking with John Cherb on Cross Country after the break.
Hey, it's Rick. I'm out here fixing the roads you drive on every day. When you speed through a work zone, you're not just risking a ticket, you're risking my life. I've got a family to go home to, just like you. So slow down, stay off your phone, and follow the signs. Help us get the job done and get home safe. We're out here for you. Be there for us. This message brought to you by the Minnesota Department of Transportation, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Otter Tail Power Company has a planned power outage scheduled for Saturday, September 20th, estimated to be from around 7 a.m. to noon. This planned outage is due to maintenance on a substation transformer and associated transformer equipment. Affected areas included the city of Boyd, rural customers between Boyd and Dawson, and rural customers west of Madison. And this will be on Saturday, September 20th, from about 7 a.m. to noon. If you have any questions, give a call to 1-800-257-4044. That's 1-800-257-4044 for Otter Tail Power Company. Washer and dryer sets with the features and capacity for your family's needs. Whirlpool has them, and you'll find them at Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison. Get the right finish to match your decor. Whirlpool washers and dryers come in classic white, timeless gray, stylish matte black, and other finishes. You can even schedule wash cycles and get laundry tips with their Wi-Fi-connected washers and dryers. Want to learn more? Head on over to Odin and Zimbelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison. Explore how the Whirlpool brand helps families make the most of every moment and shop solutions that help you check off that to-do list.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to visit with head coach John Sherb of the Lac Qui Parle Valley Dawson Boyd cross country teams, boys and girls. John, how long have you been doing both boys and girls in cross country?
I took over from Phil Galsted in, 97, fall of 97. I took over Phil, and I helped him out some years before that, too. But so, been doing for a couple of years.
Oh, so it's always been combined boys and girls?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, it's always been combined boys and girls.
Okay. Oh, I'm thinking track, I bet. That's what I'm thinking.
Yep, that's what you think of track, yep.
Okay. Long time, though, you've been there, so that's great.
Yep, I've been fortunate, so. Yep.
Okay, well, let's talk about it and see how the cross-country team did this past week.
Yeah, we were at New Spicer on Thursday night, and that turned into a monster meet, because it was a lot of schools, big-time schools there, too. So it was a kind of good chance. I want to say there must have been 16 teams, I think, there, and so... Some not completing some events, some were completing others, but it was a very, very talented meet to run at, and it was good to see. Plus kids we haven't seen, teams we haven't seen in a long time, so that's kind of nice that way. So they ran the junior high boys and girls together, and they ran a 1.5-mile race, And I thought some of the kids really have made some nice progress in there. Our top runner on the girls' junior high was Skylar Stock. She finished 18th at 12:21. She's really been coming on. She's ran really well the last couple races. I think she's understanding it a lot more, and that's been good. And I think the other girls have been starting to go with her, too, so they're kind of getting better yet, so that's nice to see there. So, like I said, she ran really, really nice race there and moved up really well. Cambry Larson, I thought, also really had a nice race. She finished 22nd at 12:31. Then Chelsea Clark was 26th at 12:43. And then we had Macy Clavin at 49th at 14:13. Emerson Erdman was 36th at 13:28. Ainsley Grunholz was 53rd at 14:39. And then Cora Nelson was 57th at 17:37. Score, and they actually scored the junior high, and we got enough girls to score, so which is really nice to have that system. And I think they had us in fifth, but there were some very good teams in there. So again, when you're seeing St. Cloud Cathedral, New Nun Spicer, you're seeing some pretty good programs and have them place like that. It was really nice to see. 7th, 8th grade boys did the same course, and they ran together. Uriah Speck was our top runner. He was 30th at 11:13. And again, he just continues to get stronger as the races go on. Landon Scullerud was 72nd at 14:17, and he really has come a long ways. Just when where he started, the first week of practice, he run a half a mile and then walk a little bit, then get another quarter mile, he'd be able to get just good. Now he's running a mile and a half without stopping and getting that much stronger. His first mile, he's getting out in his mile, so he's really, really running well, and it's good to see him to kind of expand that, and it's great to see him and to him improve. So, very happy with the junior high kids. I thought, again, it was good start there with it and have that. Then they ran the varsity girls, which the varsity girls race turned into basically a showdown race. You basically had in Class A rankings coming into the week, you had the number one ranked team, the number two ranked team, and number three ranked team in the state at one meet. And you don't see that very often when you get all three at the same one. So that it's going to be a tough field in there. I believe, just right off the top of my head, I think Redwood was ranked one. I want to say Cathedral was two, and then Spicer was three, if I remember right, in the rankings coming in.
Oh, wow.
So that's a tough field to compete with. So that was really good to see that. And then also Minnewaska team traditionally is pretty darn good, too. They're not even ranked at all, but they aren't far from being ranked. So you have very good powerhouse there, and just to kind of see where you fit in. And so our girls knew that a little bit. Some of the girls, I thought, handled it well. I thought some of the girls maybe a little bit overthought things a little bit of who they're running against. And that's part of believing in yourself and seeing how you can handle it. And that will come as we get more into this. But like I told him, I said, you got to be competitive no matter who you're competing against, and just work. And that's what I thought we did. We had some kids picking up for some other kids that didn't have a real good race. Again, it was hot and sticky, and it was a bright sun, and Brenda's still fighting a little bit with that sports asthma a little bit to get that balance. She looks good for a while, and then she hits that wall a little bit, and then she's fighting herself a little bit there. And so that's kind of – we haven't quite got that. She was still our top runner. She ended up finishing 36th at 22:48. So, again, she's learning. Hopefully we can get this balance, and hopefully the weather starts cooling down a little bit and we can stay stable with that, because that'll take care of, with any allergies like that, and just to make her that much stronger, because she'll drop a lot of time once that happens. Chloe was Laura Schrar was actually a second runner. She was 42nd at 23:20. Chloe struggled a little bit in that second half of the race, and Laura kind of closed the gap and got after her, and they were pulling each other along the last 400 meters away, and it's a good thing Laura, I hollered them, someone's got to go, and if you can hang, you can hang, you can't. And so Laura ended up pulling away. They went and finished in 42nd. Chloe, like I said, was right behind her, 23:27 in 45th place. Sadie Rosendahl was 56th at 24:43. Harper Grunholz was 58th at 24:53. And then Talia Hurston was 69th at 25:40. Scoring-wise, really tight field on the top side with those three. Northern Spicer ended up winning it with 39. St. Cloud Cathedral was second at 42. Redwood was at 67 and third. And then you talk about Minnewaska, is a really good program. They also finished fourth at 139. It's a big drop-off from those top three, but That still is a pretty impressive score. We were in ninth with 209, which I was happy with. Again, I thought, you know, we could have cleaned up some things. We could probably move up their level some more. We could probably maybe, you know, we could probably move another 20 points off our score if we cleaned up some little things of where we struggled at. But that's part of the thing is, you know, you compete, and some days you don't have it, some days you do. And the part of the team method is if someone has an off day, someone's got to cover yourself, and that's what you all expect on that. So, like I said, I thought the girls, you know, ran well, and again, I think we can run better. But again, that's my opinion, and they still have got to be able to do that on the course, and if they can run better, you know, they'll have to prove it. So, like I said, that was good. Boys, going in there wasn't as a stellar as what the girls was coming in. Sauk Center was kind of the only team that was ranked in state coming in, if what I saw in the rankings. So that was going to be kind of the clear in there. Then Fall Salt is a Rockford team I wasn't sure on. And Redwood, who, you know, won state last year, is a guy returning. They've returned a bunch, but they also, I know I was talking to the coach a little bit, he said he caught some kids that, besides they weren't going to do anything in the fall, very good athletes that, you know, probably could be doing football or whatever, they decided not to, and they got them to come off across country, and he's able to do all of that, so he's been able to keep his depth. So there's really three good teams there with that, too. So it wasn't going to be a kind of a, you know, sloppy or kind of lower case race compared to the girl, but still going to be a pretty good one. We held out Tanner Callis. He tweaked his knee a little bit with his IT band on practice on Tuesday, so we've kind of held him out. So we aren't as deep on the boys, so we really didn't have a fill-in for it, so that kind of hammered us a little bit on team scoring. But, again, that's what it is. I know Tanner would have liked to have run, but it's like not taking a chance because, again, it's we got to be healthy when it comes at the end. And if right. we start beating ourselves up now, we're in trouble for the rest of the year. So we've got to stay healthy. So gave him a little time off that way, but, you know, we'll see what he looks like. Maybe he'll race on Saturday and see where he goes there. So without Tanner, we didn't have that full. And Colton Rosendahl looked good. I think he looked a little more timid earlier because he usually kind of sees where Tanner's at and kind of builds off that, and he really didn't have that sight to see him. So I think that affected him a little. He still finished 30th at 19.06. Then we had Landon Keeman was 53rd at 20.26. Brody Nelson was 54th at 20.28. Guitar Serraro was 77th at 21.07. And then Matthew Botham was 91st at 21.48. Matthew did not have a good race. I don't know if he's been under the weather. I know there's a lot of the crud out there going through the kids right now. So if that affected him a little bit there. But, you know, at least Cantaro, you know, he picked up, caught him, and moved on and didn't wait for him and then tried to, you know, I was caught by him when he caught him, and I could hear him saying, hey, Matt, we got to go. You know, he tried to get him to go with him, and then Cantaro just kept going, and just Matt just didn't have in the gas tank. But that's the way it is and how you go. So, you know, again, it's up and down, and that's the thing is, when especially on the boys' side, when you're running as many ninth graders are running in the varsity with little experience of varsity, you're going to have that. And just hopefully we can have more peaks and valleys of it, and that's what we're looking at. Scoring-wise, Rockford ended up winning with 57. Sauk was second at 63. Redwood was third at 67. Then West Central was in fourth at 143. With our lineup we had, we finished in 11th at 275. Points. Again, like I said, we have that in there. You know, if we have Tanner in there and a healthy Matthew, you probably can knock off probably 80 points off our score. So that's okay. how big of a drop off it is without those two running where we need to. So, but that's just the way it is. JV girls, they ran the 5K course. Alyssa Sobinski was 10th. She finished 26.08. Morgan Anderson was 11th at 26.46. And then Shea Botham was 19th at 27.28. JV boys, we had two kids in there. Aaron Will was 38th at 23.03, and Andy Felton was 52nd at 24.17. So, again, a lot, you know, you have good performances, you have some okay performances, some that you will work on to get better, and that's just the way it is. But, again, you compete, and what happens, happens. And that's the thing is, if you finish and you aren't tired like that, then I'm concerned. And I think pretty much all the kids some just didn't have it. And, you know, like I said, the weather is affecting a little bit. Some of these kids aren't used to this heat where we had a little bit back. And there is some sickness going around. And so you're kind of fighting that, too. And right. You go with what you got.
Okay. You've been going up to the Little Crow invite for many years, haven't you?
Yep, we've gone when I took over the program in 97. Phil Gulsad always was taken, so we've been going up there since the early 90s, so we've always been going to that meet. So it's been pretty much a kind of a lock in our calendar as tradition, just because years past, we were actually in that section with a lot of those schools, so you wanted to see them too.
Right.
So and we just stayed there, and it's good competition to find out where we're at.
All right, and another on your schedule that's been on for years is today over in Milbank.
Yep, that's another fun one. It's a Saturday morning. I always tell the kids, I said, I like to race twice on Saturdays throughout the season. You know, right, race here in Milbank on a Saturday and then race at State on a Saturday. That's kind of the tradition I always like to do. So hopefully just kind of get that feel of that tradition. And plus going over there, it's unique because you see a lot of schools that aren't that big in enrollment, but they have some really good teams, and you compete with that and everything else. And
you get to compete with newer teams you usually don't see, right?
Yeah, you get to see Summit, South Dakota, not a very big school. So you see a lot of schools out there. We've seen Webster and things like that. So we had some issues with that. So it's fun. It's really, really fun over there. And plus, like I said, you score 4 in South Dakota. And Milbank traditionally has a very, very good program. So that will be running at 9:30 today over at the junior high. And it's working up the level and be done by, I think, 12:30 or so over there.
Okay. All right. And then you got a large home meet coming up.
Oh, yes. It's a tough one on me mentally and physically because, again, you got to really set that course up and work on it. So we get the kind of the pre-section meet on Tuesday. So any teams that from the down south come up here and kind of get a chance to see the course, get run on it, and things like that. So it will be a big meet, and we'll see the southern schools, in which we don't get to see a lot of them, and that's something we maybe is tradition that I need to change a little bit too. It's because we see too many north schools. Maybe we got to go south a little bit more, but it'll be a good one, and that will be a 4:30 start there, and that will be a zoo. I mean, if you're driving by at all, you may want to be careful driving by because it's a lot of vehicles parked all over the place, and it's going to be kind of a mess a little bit at times.
Yeah, and like you said, you're hosting the section meet later on, and so it's a good practice for you and the team there, the crew, to set up the course and stuff, right?
Right.
Will it be the same course as the section course then?
Yep. It'll be true. I tweak it. I always ask coaches afterwards too of any tweaks they would like to see a little different. And is there a turn that maybe not as rounded as well, or can we give them a cleaner sight? So I'll do it. Then I'll ask all coaches. And sometimes there's some input. I'll look if I can do it. I'll adjust if I can't. I can't. But it just kind of gives me a feel of making sure how is the course flow, and that's always trying to make it. It's more of a course that's set for the athletes, to how they can run fast and be very competitive without having any restrictions, and try to involve the spectators and a good spectator vision too, without getting them involved and getting them into the runs.
Right. How many teams will be there Tuesday?
I'm thinking it's going to be at least 14 teams.
Okay.
That's what I last saw. And there was a couple other schools that were thinking about if they had an opening, they may switch and come up, but I don't know. But as right now, that's what it looks like for numbers.
Okay, good.
I'm trying to check the computer, but it was good. So it's going to be
some state ranked teams.
Yes. So if Redwood is there, they'll be ranked on their crew. Laverne, who's been ranked on their crew too. So you're going to have some very good teams. Even like MCC is traditionally up there. They're a very good team. So it's a lot of teams to the south, and some very good individual rankings, and also looking at teams that are team ranked. So it's going to be fun.
Okay. All right. And I'll be out there covering that on Tuesday. Looking forward to that, John. And hey, thanks a lot for the report this morning. And best of luck in Milbank this morning.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Head coach John Sherb of Lockbrawl Valley Dawson Boyd Cross Country Team. And we'll be back with the coaches show after this.
Come on over to Canby for Fall Fest, Saturday, September 20th. All events are downtown Canby unless specified. And listen for live broadcasts right here on Q92. Car show from 9 to 2, Canby for Kids activities from 10 to 11, with a car and bike show, yard games, and bike giveaway. Don't forget, there'll be a food booth sponsored by St. Peter's from 11 to 1. And backyard barbecue competition by Hero Sports Bar and Grill at 6. A lot of activities happening during Fall Fest in Canby, Saturday, September 20th. And don't forget, live music by Highway Call Band, 11 to 2. Canby's Fall Fest, sponsored by the Canby Chamber of Commerce.
I'm with Monica Boffin from Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, you got a big anniversary coming up.
I sure do, Paul Ramel, September 10th through the 13th. And on the 12th, I'm serving hot chicken sandwiches to go. Come in and celebrate with Monica on 18 years of business. Grab a dark chocolate sea salt caramel and check out all the new fall fashions. Vacation room is full of color for all vacation needs. A lot of shoes, boots, coats, vests, and great crossover bags have arrived. Daily drawings and giveaways. My hours are Wednesday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. See you soon and like me on Facebook.
This season, bring the whole family to see Irving Berlin's White Christmas. This smash hit musical based on the classic film returns by popular demand to delight you at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. With loads of laughter and a stunning showcase of Irving Berlin songs, White Christmas is a celebration of the romance, friendship, and magic of the holidays. Make your plans today to see White Christmas. Visit ChanhassenDT.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to visit with Amber Lee, head coach of the Lockbaugh Valley Volleyball Team. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, you're in Benson today for a big tournament, aren't you?
Yep, we are in Benson. We take on Ashby, Benson, and Ortonville today at 9, 10:30, and noon.
Okay. You like them tournaments? Does it give your team some good experience? Or?
Yeah, it does. I see a little different I say opponents, but I guess we play Ortonville in Benson anyway. So, but no, I like it. It gets everybody on the court a little bit, and yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, fill us in how the team did this past week then.
They continue to struggle a little bit. We played YME on Tuesday, and we lost in three.
Yeah, match. I did. I was over there broadcasting it. You know, you guys competed. YME just made a few more plays than you did.
Yeah. I feel like that was the worst match that we've played so far this year. We just really struggled on finishing the point.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. You got any stats there in front of you?
Yep, I got the stats here. So for East serves, Maya Martinson had one, Ashton Shelstead had one, and Peyton Sachs had two. For kills, Abby Hamlin had seven. Sophie Leah had two. Faith Meyer had one. Carson Whitnabel had three. Callie Kahn had 10. And Maya Swatsky had one. For blocks, Carson Whitnabel had one and Callie Kahn. Setting assists, Maya Mortensen had one. Ashton Shelstead had one. Marley Ludvigson had six. And Maya Swatsky had 11. For digs, Abby Hamlin had one, Maya Mortensen had 13, Sophie Leah had two, Faith Meyer had two, Brooklyn Olsen had one, Ashton Shelstead had four, Carson Whitnabel had one, Marley Ludvigson had six, Peyton Sachs had nine, Callie Kahn had one, and Maya Swatsky had four.
Okay. Amber, what I noticed last Tuesday in Granite Falls, you're playing some young players. They're getting some good varsity experience, aren't they?
Yeah, we do have a really young lineup, and none of them really had a whole lot of varsity experience coming in. So, and I've said that before on here and stuff. It's just trying to get everybody to mesh together, you know, and figure out who they're playing next to and how that person is going to play, I think, is a big thing in volleyball. So hopefully, I think we're getting there.
Yep. It just takes some time, doesn't it?
It sure does.
All right, so that was Tuesday at Granite Falls, and then when did you play next?
We played on Thursday at Lockbaugh Valley.
Okay, and who was your opponent, and how'd that go?
We played TMB, and we lost in three. A couple of heartbreakers again, 23, 25, 22, 25, and then the third set we kind of fell off. I think it was 16 or 18, 25. So.
Okay, some close games in the first two sets then.
Go ahead.
Could have gone either way then?
Yeah, we just couldn't seem to finish. We couldn't finish that point. Our hitters really struggled. I mean, we had 93 7 attempts, and we only finished 20th. So, you know, that's not a real good stat there.
Right.
I do continue to be impressed with our back row. You know, that Maya Mortensen, Ashton Shelstead, Marley Ludvigsen, Peyton Sass back there, and they're doing a really good job.
That's where it starts, right, Amber? You got to pass the ball up to the setter, right?
Yep, we have to have something that's playable.
Yep.
You know, and after Tuesday's match, we've talked a lot of practice about effort. You know, I don't care if you have the perfect pass. I don't care, you know, on a lot of that aspect, but I want you to try, you know. And that's kind of all that we're asking, you know, as the coaches, is to at least make an attempt at that ball, try for that ball, you know. And if you don't get it, at least you tried.
Yeah.
So I felt like we did that a lot better on Thursday than we did on Tuesday.
Okay. Your stats against the Panthers there?
Yeah, eight serves. Carson Whitnable had one. Marley Ludvigsen had one. Callie Kahn had one. And Maya Swatsky had one. For kills, Abby Emmett had nine. Ashton Shelstead had one. Carson Whitnable had five. Marley Ludvigsen had one. Callie Kahn had three. Maya Swatsky had one. We had one block from Callie Kahn. Set assists. Ashton Shelstead had seven, Marley Ludvigsen had four, and Maya Swatsky had six.
Okay.
And rounds out my stats.
That's the stats there. Okay. That wrapped up your week there. Now today, as you mentioned, you were in Benson. And do you have the times of the matches there, who you play?
Yep, we play at 9 o'clock, 10:30, and at noon.
Okay. Yeah, like we said before, it's good to get a lot of, especially with your younger team out there, to get a lot of experience on the court there in these tournaments.
Yep, it is. And it gives us an opportunity to try something different, too, you know, for thinking about something, or, you know, just gives us a few more options.
Okay. And after today, where do the Eagles play next week?
On Tuesday, we go to RCW to take on the Jaguars, and Thursday, we are back at home to host Mineola.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a tough up and bring in there on Thursday with the Vikings. I saw the Vikings the other day, and they haven't missed a beat.
No, they're always tough.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
You know, just as long as we compete, I'm good with it.
Right. The effort. Give the effort there and compete. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Anything else, Amber? Or we cover everything there?
I think that's everything, Paul.
All right. Well, we'll see you Thursday. I'll be out there broadcasting that match. And good luck today in Benson.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Yep. Amber Lee, head coach of the Lock Valley Volleyball Team. We'll take a break. Come back with more to Coach's Show after this.
Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
Back here at the radio station, that pretty much concludes our show for today. I'll end the show with three Dick Newman's sick jokes of the week. Today, I saw a line of rabbits hopping backwards. It was a receding hairline. What did the dad say as he walked out of the lollipop store? So long, suckers. And finally, someone stole my diary, and then they passed away. My thoughts are with the family. So thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
WQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News. Erica Kirk, the widow of Charlie Kirk, delivering a powerful tribute Friday at the headquarters of Turning Point USA, vowing that her